This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 16th, episode 1820.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Hidey-ho, horse world! The Hit'em crew is busily getting ready for Radiothon today. So the HRN elves have prepared this little mishmash of horse trailer discussions from the Hit'em audio vaults, including a few memorable gopher conversations, and longtime listeners will know what I'm talking about, and my list of things I've forgotten to put in the horse trailer.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
And now it's time for Jamie.
Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to a special listener / friend because she has been basically Samiko goes along with me on all my racehorse things, and if I say something wrong about the racehorse world, she will correct me, much like Susan Nelson corrects us on everything. Samiko will correct me when I say things wrong, like different breeding stallions stood in Kentucky. She will be the first to jump right in there and tell me I'm wrong. Well, somebody's got to do it. So I would like to give Samiko my Daily Whinny because yesterday was her birthday and I missed it. So I'm sorry I'm a day late, but at least it counts. So happy birthday, Samiko.
Happy birthday, Samiko. All right, everybody's been waiting. You hired the exterminators to come out yesterday in the big Ghostbusters truck. And they showed up, and I want to know what they did. Did they take a hose, hitch it to the tailpipe, and shove it down a hole?
I discussed, and by the way, awesomely, the guy's name was Chad. Okay, just like my husband. So, at one point, I'm like, hey, Chad, and both of them go, yeah!
But, you know, you did a little video, and this is what I was expecting for a gopher exterminator. I was expecting him to show up in this really old truck, and rust everywhere, you know, with things like hanging off the sides and off the roof. And then I was expecting this scruffy guy in an old gray beard who hasn't showered in a month, wearing the same clothes he woke up with 2 weeks ago, and smelled a little bit like alcohol from his hangover. That's what I was expecting.
Yes, and that is definitely not what showed up at my house, fortunately, because that would have been scary. So I called these people, and I actually interviewed Chad for you guys so you can hear the interview, and I was a little surprised. First of all, he was here for like 4.5 hours. Okay, I mean, wow. I caught him at the beginning. We actually... because we were trying to make friends with him, we actually made him breakfast. And so he had breakfast with us. and then I interviewed him, and then he went to work. And dude was here all day. So we're going to play the interview. Unfortunately, I was in a coffee-induced frenzy and about to kill a bunch of gophers. So I actually made up a word. So if you can hear the made-up word in the interview that I don't know where it came from. It just was a made-up word. You get a point. And so here is my interview with Chad.
Well, there is a video to go along with this. Jennifer's going to post the video on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
Yeah,
here I am staring at some gopher mounds that I have literally treated with gopher gas 1,000 times. These are brand new. But I would like to introduce you to my friend, Chad, here, who is from CritterRitterArizona.com. Chad, how would you rate on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, the extremity of our gopher problem?
An 11.
Serious, an 11?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So, within the 3 acres, can you estimate how many gophers are currently living in our property?
It's really hard to say. I would say at least a couple hundred, if not a couple thousand.
Oh my God.
It's really hard to estimate it just by the tunnels and the mounds themselves.
They're having a party under there.
With all the work that I have done, do you find that maybe potentially I have killed any of them?
No.
No one?
No, yeah. No, I'm sure you've made a difference, but
I guess.
There's just so many of these guys here. It's really hard to take care of them. You know, the tunnel systems are wide open, and they will use old tunnel systems as well, so.
Jet has decided to come check out his new gopher-killing friend. All right, well, I do appreciate you coming out. How long a process is this going to be? How long is this going to take?
It's going to be a couple-week process. We're going to do the first treatment today, and then we'll be back in a week to do another treatment.
Okay.
And then we'll be back the following week as well.
Okay. So when you saw the pushed-out wrappers, you did comment to me that maybe my smoke bombing was not so effective?
Yeah, probably not.
Have you seen any gopher middle fingers yet?
I have not, but I haven't seen any white flags either.
Maybe that'll happen. 2-3 weeks of treatment with Chad here, and maybe the white flags will come popping out of those giant gopher holes. Thank you very much, Chad. Have a wonderful day, and go kill.
Thank you.
So basically, you have just wasted 3 months of your life on a futile attempt to kill your gophers.
And hundreds of dollars. Hundreds. I could have paid him so long ago. Here's a tip. If you're going to try something yourself, just don't. Just give up and call a professional. But
so
did you notice
do?
That, huh?
I want to know what he did. Well, go ahead first. But then I want to know what he did.
Well, just during that interview, I got a little distracted, and you'll see it on the video, that, of course, we're standing in a pasture, and I'm holding a video camera, which Jet, of course, thinks is a carrot. So he comes running right up to us and just pushing us out of the way, and I've been trying to keep them away from this section because there's some gopher holes there, and he just blew through everything. He didn't care. So that's
what
that
was. I got to tell you, he said hundreds or thousands. That's a lot of little critters down there.
Yeah. Exactly. It was pretty upsetting. Then he says to me afterwards, I said, so, you know, these holes, you treat these holes, blah, 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 a couple weeks, they'll quit making them. And he goes, well, you have to realize that probably underneath your entire property is a tunnel system that they don't have to change. So there's going to be thousands of gophers, or he said hundreds of gophers that are not continuing to disturb the ground. So we're not even going to know they're there. He goes, you're going to need to do this. Probably, you know, forever. Like, what? So what he did was he had this, no, he did, he had never even heard of the back your truck up and stick the pipe down into the hole.
Darn.
Because, no, and he said that what happens is that the second, that probably the reason my smoke bombs didn't work, that the second they detect anything going on, they make a wall against what's coming in. So your gas would, like what my smoke bombs were doing, were just running up into a wall and coming back, like it dissipating. So apparently that method doesn't really work. The other methods that I've used were the traps, which, you know, again, they just stuffed dirt into, and I didn't know what he was going to do. Well, he had this, he did say that the blow-up machine, the where you stick the thing down in and it ignites the whole hole and the whole entire place blows up. He said that was awesome and it really worked well, but it would kill our property. So he said,
I was voting for that one too.
I know, I like that one.
How about the one where Chad flies over and strafes it with his F-16? And did you like that idea?
I was a fan of that one. I don't think that we brought that up to him because we didn't want him to think we were crazy. So What he had was this T-bar. It was like a T-bar. It looked like rebar or something with a like top on it, and it had a handle on the side, and he would put poison into the very tippy top of the T-bar, and then he would poke it into the ground, and where the ground gave, he actually knew like how the tunnels were formed, and he would find the tunnel and find the intersection of the tunnel where it's smack in the middle of it, push this T-bar thing into the middle of that, inject some food into the middle of the tunnel system, and pull it out. And then so there's food in there, which is also poison. He said that the poison that they're using, he goes, first of all, it's not going to come out of the ground. He goes, but if it does, it's such a small concentration because they're killing gophers, not dogs or horses. He said that if it does get into the horse or the dog, they won't even feel it, hardly. So he said they won't feel it at all. I don't know if I believe that, but at least think that maybe, you know, they'll be okay, because he said it's a very low concentration. It's like 1/100th of what a dog would need, you know, to make it sick. So here's to doing it, you know. Cheers.
So basically what he's trying to accomplish is gopher genocide. That's what we're working
yes.
for.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's what I've been trying to do. Poorly.
Hopefully underground and where they won't think so bad.
Yeah, I hope that. I asked him, I said, are they going to be like climbing out, gasping for air, looking for water, you know? And he was like, that's when he came up with the whole like, no, ain't going to see that. You're not going to see white flags popping out of the hole, waving back and forth. He's like,
there's like no satisfaction in it then.
I didn't want satisfaction. I didn't want to see him.
Well, I'll tell you what. I ended up, when I was looking through YouTube today to find that song, I found some clips. I found a montage of the gopher clips from Caddyshack. And I have to tell you, I cracked up all over again. It was just the clips of him trying to get the gopher and the gopher winning every time. It was hilarious. And it just so reminded me of you. It was just hilarious.
For your safety, remain seated with the doors closed, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside while the tram is moving, and supervise your children.
And I wanted to talk to Scott Ward, who is representing Logan Coach, about some of the custom coaches and the cool things that are being done with horse trailers today. So let's say good morning to Scott. Good morning, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. I appreciate you being on here. And, you know, one of the things that, well, Jamie just got herself, also Craigslist, a new living quarters trailer, so she's all excited. And I want to talk to you today and learn a little bit more about what makes a good trailer and all of that. But I also want to talk to you about your custom options and what kind of cool things we can get put into a trailer. We all are very positive here at Horses in the Morning, and we believe that someday we're going to win the lottery, every one of us. So we'll be able to buy everything that comes custom on one of the Logan coaches. We'll be able to do. That's going to happen, right, Scott. You write that down, all right?
All right, I'm writing her down.
Okay, good. Tell us about Logan Coach first.
Logan Coach, been around since 1985, so been around a long time. Making a lot of fun changes. They actually have new owners as of 2009, but so there's a lot of fun and exciting things happen. And Logan Coach basically builds a coach that tries to give you the best of all worlds. They have a galvanized subframe. So a lot of people aren't familiar with galvanized, but galvanized will give you the strength and safety you need, one, to carry that big coach down the road if your horses go to kicking or if you get in a wreck, where a lot of the lighter built trailers out there won't give you that safety,
now,
the strength that you need.
Before you go on, How as a consumer, can I look and see if a trailer has the galvanized frame?
Well, to be honest with you, it's pretty easy because Logan Coach is the only one that's doing it.
So, okay, well, there you go.
It's basically, we've modeled a lot of our stuff after some of the, you know, the high-end million-dollar motor coaches. That's how they build their coaches. We feel like using a galvanized frame and then combining all the aluminum around it gives you the benefits and of both sides of things, because sometimes treaders that are just all aluminum might be too light. Treaders that maybe are all steel will be too heavy. So we've tried to use the strengths of both and make a coach that gives you the best of all worlds. So that's the basic of what Logan Coach is. But then, you know, they have some fun features on there, like Logan Coach has the only all-aluminum floor that'll actually drain, which is a huge factor because aluminum floors that don't drain will eventually rot out. Call that the whiz-proof flooring.
I didn't know they made aluminum floors. I thought people were still using wood. How does that? Am I ancient or what?
No, you're fine. A lot of trailers still use wood. A lot of the steel manufacturers are still putting wood in their trailers. Most of the aluminum manufacturers out there are doing a flat sheet aluminum floor, which is fine, other than that it's a little slick. And then, like you say, when the urine and all the barnyard acids pool on there, it'll eventually rot that floor out. Whereas with the Logan floor, it'll drain it down through. And then on top of that, they spray everything with a Vortex or kind of a Rhino liner type spray. So the frame's all Rhino liner sprayed. So that helps protect against that corrosion also.
Okay. You know, we just saw a Mythbusters episode where they tested the stuff you spray in the back of your bed liner in your pickup truck.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it was incredible. It stood up to seafloor blasts. I mean, it was incredibly strong stuff. They really did prove that stuff, you know, in a lot of cases will stop a bomb or a bullet.
Yeah.
So tough.
We've seen that too. I mean, they did those tests before we went with it. You know, just from practical use, we've seen horses kick it and bite on it and crib on it, and it's, you know, it stood up to all that. So we've been really impressed with it. It's a far better option than just the rubber mats that tend to come off.
Now, are you the only one that's doing that whiz-proof flooring, then?
Yeah, we're the only one that does that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
I like whiz-proof flooring.
Yeah.
So now tell us, what percentage of people will, now I'm getting to the lottery here, what percentage of people will actually buy a custom trailer and an off-the-shelf trailer?
Well, I mean, in a sense, they're all kind of custom because we'll give you, okay, here's your basic options, especially when you start talking those big living quarter models that you're talking about. But then people add their little touches to it to make it theirs because it's basically a home on wheels, so they want it to be how they want it. So
they may
take a trailer and say, okay, I want a 10-foot short wall with the slide out. And then say, well, let's do this wood, let's do this couch. Yeah, let's add
you just
features.
Said the magic word, Scott, slide out. I've always wanted a trailer with a slide out.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. I'm going to say majority of our living quarters, it seems that's the direction everybody's headed. And that's kind of one of the advantages. The way we do our slide out, it's a lot more affordable than a lot of the others on the market. So we're getting a lot of business from that.
Now, does the slide out add like thousands of dollars to the trailer? Is it really expensive?
Roughly, you're in that $3,000 range.
Okay. And they're putting them in the living area, like where the kitchen and couches are and everything, as opposed, well, you couldn't do it in the bedroom because they're usually above the overhang, right?
Yeah, the majority of them are where the sofa is. Okay. We've done some others that they put kitchens and bathrooms and different things in it, but majority of them have been where the sofa is. But it just opens that area up so much. You know, it slides out 3 foot. You can do anywhere from a 6 foot on up slide room. So just depending on what you're after, it really
can I get a bigger shower? I don't know how big your shower is in your fancy bun, but that's always been a complaint is I can't even wash up because I'm too tall and I usually hit my head and then you're not even wide enough to fit a human in. So can I get a bigger shower?
You bet. I got the same problem. I'm 6'4", so it's we can address that.
So, well, here's what I did is I took out one of the horse spaces and put a hot tub in there. So it's really fancy.
Nice. You're living large.
I'm living large, so y'all can come over anytime, okay?
All right.
Well, now, what is the biggest trailer, the longest trailer that you'll do, the fifth wheel?
As far as the living quarter area, right now, off the shelf, it's 15 foot. We've done bigger than that. We've done up to, I think we did a 20 footer. But as far as it's off the shelf, the living quarters about 15 foot, and then, you know, 4, 5, 6 horse behind that. So, you can be roughly in that 40 foot on the floor.
Wow. And I noticed, too, that you're custom. You do all different kinds. You do for race car guys. I mean, you do all different kinds of trailers.
Yeah. We've done a lot of different ones. We've done stuff for the FBI. We've done it for PGA Golf Tour. I mean, you name it, we'll look at it. So,
what's the strangest thing anybody ever wanted in their trailer?
Oh, geez, put me on the spot here. Since I'm not a golfer, the PGA Tour trailer was kind of a strange one for me. It had two big old slide rooms and a bunch of computer animated simulator equipment. So I'd say that was the strangest deal for me.
Did the FBI one have surface air missiles in it?
I think they were planning on doing their own mounting of that stuff. But
yeah, I bet. Yeah, they didn't let you do the fun stuff, huh?
Yeah, I didn't let us do that fun stuff. Probably safer that way, too.
Hey, Jamie, you know what I think we need? I think we need a Logan Coach mobile studio.
There you go.
That's exactly what you need.
Yeah.
I do. I need one of those all decked out with, like, comfy chairs and soundproof walls. And, yeah, we can put a couple horses in the back, but the front's all decked out like a mobile studio. I think that'd be cool.
I think you should. We actually had a doctor call in the other day, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to have a mobile office to take their medical clinic around. We've actually built some trailers like that for different medical companies that go to different factories and stuff and go do hearing tests and different medical things. So we've kind of done some of that stuff.
All right, and I want to thank All American Trailers. They're the sponsor in Norco that got us in touch with you. And their website is at allamericantrailers.com, and that's where you can go see where hopefully we're going to see some of them when we're out there. And I expect that that we're going to be out there in 2 weeks. So you'll have the studio one done by then?
We'll get to work on it.
All right, good, Scott. I appreciate it.
If you have
any questions on that, Jennifer will give you my phone number. So, you know.
And credit card. Get a deposit. Make sure you take a deposit.
Yep. Perfect. Yeah, come out to All American. Check them out. They got a great facility, great staff there. Take good care of you. You can go to our website at logancoach.com, and hopefully we can answer any questions you have there. But, yeah, appreciate you guys.
All right, no problem. And do you sell any little tiny ones for gophers? Or
for what now?
Hey. Ignore him.
All right. I didn't hear any of that.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
We appreciate
you being on. That's Logan Coach. You can find it at logancoach.com and allamericantrailers.com. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Bye. You know, some people who never listened to our show before, I swear, when they get off the phone, they go, I don't know what I just did there. I don't know why I did that. Who were they?
All right, all you cowboys and cowgirls, I really need your help singing the chorus on this one. It's called Viva la Cowboy. I hear a lot of talk about him dying. They're calling him a vanishing breed. They sing them sad songs about how he's come and gone, as if he's faded into history. Well, I can tell you something for certain. Yeah, one thing that I know for a fact, they ain't exactly dropping the curtain on a way of life that's way intact. So Viva the Cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy. He's still got a home on the range. westerns, and pickup trucks are still hauling hay. They keep on raising the bar in the PBR, and there's thousands in the PRCA. You won't find them on the endangered species. They ain't protected anywhere that I know. And they're still making them as tough and as bronky as it did when the buffalo roamed. Hey, viva la cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches and they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy, he's still got a home on the range.
God, help me out here now.
Viva the cowboy, long live his kind. Here's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy. He's still got a home on the range. Yeah, viva the cowboy. He'll always have a home on the range.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Well, our guest, next guest coming up here is Marcia. And she is from Maple Lane Equestrian Trailers, and we're having her on for a reason. And that reason is it's Christmas time, and we haven't talked about any big fancy gifts that you could buy your significant other this year, your horse husband, your horse wife. Well, we thought it was darn well time that we talked about that. And, you know, Janie, one of the things that we have, as Americans have always pined after is the horse trailers and horse boxes that they have over in Europe. When you see the pictures of these things, they're just works of art. They're beautiful, and they make them more efficient, and they make them lighter, and they have smaller vehicles over there to tow them. Well, that technology is now starting to come to North America, to Canada, the United States, and one of the companies bringing it, I think his name is Bachman, we're going to find out, because we're going to talk to Marcia from Maple Lane Equestrian Trailers about why these are so cool. Good morning, Marcia.
Well, good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
We're glad to have you. Now, where are you located? Where is Maple Lane Equestrian Trailers at?
We're in Ontario, in Canada, and we're about 4 hours directly north of Syracuse, New York.
Oh, so that means that these are great in snow, too.
You got it. Not that we have much snow at the moment, but we're expecting some. You know, Santa's coming, so he needs something to land on, right?
That's right. Well, now, did I pronounce it right? Is it Bachman?
You know what? You're close. It's like Bookman, so it's like saying the word book and then man afterwards. Bookman.
Bookman.
Yeah. Very close. Okay. It's because of those two little dots over the O.
See, that's that whole foreign language thing. I don't do well at English, so they don't let me really do. Don't really let me do anything else. I was looking about these trailers, and what we're going to be talking about here is one horse and two horse trailers, the smaller mm-hmm. horse trailers, not big goosenecks. And the reason is there's a lot more people thinking economy. A lot of people are actually selling their goosenecks now and downsizing a bit. These are really made for being, like we have a Jeep Liberty. These are really made for being towed by lesser vehicles than huge trucks, right?
You got it. In Europe, they just don't have the same truck system that we have in North America. We're a truck culture, really, in North America. And over there, gas prices, fuel prices are so high. And just the cultural development of their road systems, they pull everything with cars. And I mean everything with cars. So they had to design trailers that would be safe to be pulled by a smaller tow vehicle. And there's like three big features that make that possible. They have different balance than what we have in a North American bumper pull. They add an aerodynamic perspective of features in the roof, and that eliminates drag and sway. And then they have a different kind of braking system than what we use typically here. So three big features.
I want to talk about all three of those, actually.
Okay.
The first one, the balance, and I think this is very interesting because one of the things that happens, and anybody that's hauled a trailer knows this, is there tends to be, when you have the horses loaded, there tends to be a lot of weight on the tongue, on the mm-hmm. pitch that's attached to your truck. Yep. And you can see that because the back end of your truck really goes down. So these are actually designed that the weight is over the wheels so that what's in effect happening is it's not pushing down on the back of your truck. Did I get that right?
You're right on that, and it's right where they place the axles. So in a North American bumper pull, the axles will be placed right to the back of the trailer. So now there's your horses are standing ahead of the support system, and then you've got your tack and hay and water and whatever else you've put in the front of the trailer, and so you have extra weight now leaning or piggybacking on your tow vehicle, which is okay because we pull at trucks which have really strong chassis frames and can support the extra weight. But if you're going to pull with a Volvo station wagon or a Jeep Liberty or a Ford Escape or a minivan, those chassis just can't bear as much weight. So by centering the axles right underneath the center of where your horse stands, now you've got like 96% of your weight being supported by the frame of the trailer itself, and only about 4% leaning onto the tow vehicle.
So now, why aren't American manufacturers doing that?
I don't know. I think it'll come over time. You know, we build based on our culture, right? So the trailers that were designed in North America didn't need to be smaller or tinier because we pulled with trucks originally. And, you know, they moved livestock and sheep and whatever else. And when they made them for horses, they just sort of made them taller and bigger, you know. In Europe, they never moved their livestock with trucks. That wasn't something they did. So they had to design based on what they had. And there's actually road regulations. In Germany, you cannot have a tongue weight for any trailer of any length or any weight greater than 150 kilograms or 330 pounds. And that's shocking.
Wow.
Shocking for people here. They're like, really? So it's possible by just where the axles are placed and how far apart they're placed. They're only allowed to be so many inches apart from each other to a maximum and to a minimum distance so that it can't be, you know, crazily apart underneath the trailer. That wouldn't be safe either. So it's very interesting how their design has come about.
Well, now, I really, too, we used to have a trailer, a Shoup trailer, I think, at that point years ago, I mean 25 years ago, a two-horse trailer that instead of having electric brakes had surge brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guarantee you that 70% of the audience has no idea what I'm talking about right now. You have to be of a certain vintage to have run into a surge brake, but yours are tell us about the brakes, because they're not electric.
They're not electric. Electric brakes are actually illegal in Europe, and they're illegal because the fail-safe for electricity is that you have a tow vehicle with a wide enough wheelbase and that's heavy enough that in the event the electricity ever fails, your tow vehicle can slow down the trailer that it's got hauling behind.
Oh, and then the other thing that's the fail-safe is the dead battery that everybody has. Because I guarantee you that 90% of the little tiny batteries that sit on that hitch there are dead.
Right, and that's something else you have to consider to maintain, too, right? The kind of braking system that's used throughout Europe and on these models in particular, it's an entirely mechanical system. So it's like the surge brake that those of us of old will recall, but there's no fluid introduced. It's entirely mechanical. So what I mean is that where your coupler connects to your 2-inch ball, just behind that is a huge shock, a master cylinder, and it's connected via an S-cam to a brake rod. And that rod runs about a third of the way under the trailer, and then it comes to a little T-intersection, I call it, where all four brake cables meet. And so when you're slowing down, the trailer is naturally going to catch up to you during that time when you're slowing down, and pressure is put through that tongue, kicks on the shock, and then that pulls on the brake rods and applies your brakes. So the trailer is always self-adjusting its speed to the speed of the tow vehicle. So you never feel it push on you, the trailer. It always is going to stop as quickly or as slowly as your tow vehicle is going to.
So, well, really, kind of, it is different than the surge brakes like we were used to, because you used to be able to feel the trailer pushing you a little bit before those brakes kicked in.
Right, yep. And people ask me, you know, oh, if it's a mechanical brake system, what happens when you go backwards, when you reverse or reverse up a hill? How's that going to work? In the old days, there would be a pin that would have to be removed so that it would disengage the brake, and then you could roll backwards. Now, you know, all the new cool technology, there's it's called an overcam inside the brake hub, and when the wheels turn in reverse, it releases that overcam so that there's only about 4% of the brake still in play, so you don't even notice that when you're backing up. You can back up and park anywhere, back up hills, no problem.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, well, caveman braking, I tell you.
But I love that idea, actually, because I hate pulling around with the electric brakes and always adjusting them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these had a couple other things, too, that I've always wanted to see on trailers, and you know, hopefully they'll become a thing over here, too, is the ability to unlock the butt bar from the outside, to release from the outside. So you actually have a mechanism that, without even going into the trailer, I can release the butt bar without putting my hand in there.
Mm-hmm. And it's a multi-purpose one. So they've redesigned, actually, the whole butt and chest bar system for 2011. But they had this feature in the past. And there's a ring on the outside of the trailer at the positions of both the chest bars, so on both sides of the trailer where the chest bars are, and at the rear where the butt bars are. And you can tie your horses to those rings if you needed to, you know, tying them up outside. But in the event you had a horse spook and get up over top of a chest bar and get hung up or back in underneath the butt bar, you can take a broom handle, a broom and shovel come with all the trailers, and you can take your broom handle or a wrench or anything that will fit through the ring and unscrew that ring. The ring is connected to a bolt that is integral to the system on the inside of the trailer. And as that bolt is pulled, unscrewed out, it loosens up the fixture that's on the inside of the stall wall, and then you can either lift off the butt bar so that the horse is no longer stuck underneath, or in the chest bar, it will drop the chest bar to the ground. So then the horse slides off and comes down on all 4 feet, and then you go in the trailer and say, okay, what's going on? Let's put you back together again.
I could have used that. A couple of times, I could have really used that.
Yeah. It's amazing when that happens and you open the door and you see hooves over top of the chest bar, and you go, oh, crap, now what?
Yeah, exactly. No, the chest bar is the one, too, that I've seen that happen with. And you have something, too. One of these designs actually has, and this is a two-horse trailer, keep in mind, a very sleek-looking two-horse trailer. One of these designs actually has a ramp in the front, too, so you just load them and walk them through.
That's right.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, we have a lot of veterinarians that buy that model, actually, because if you have an injured horse, backing them off or stepping them backwards off a trailer can be really hard on you know, if it's their hips or they have a leg lameness or something in their back. So walking them forward off is a lot easier. And I think we have 10 or 11 vets now that own trailers, and all of them but one own that model with the walk-off at the front. So I find that interesting that that's their choice. Yeah.
It does make sense for them, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing, so the couple of the other things I noticed, too, and this has always been a complaint, and it seems like they're fixing that. Again, the Europeans coming through to fix this, is that the ramp is longer so that the horse, longer than we're traditionally used to here, so that the horse can hit all 4 feet on the ramp.
Mm-hmm. It's a 5-foot ramp, so and the angle is quite low because the height from the floor, the stall floor off the ground is just around 16 inches, so it's not a really steep incline, and by having a longer ramp, it's an even lower incline for the horse to walk up. So for young horses, it's not scary to look to get into the trailer, but by having 5 feet, any horse of any size, 18 hands or lower, are going to be able to put all 4 feet on that ramp so that they're in the same plane. They're not getting off balance by stepping on the ground and 1 foot on the ramp and 1 foot inside the trailer. But it just gives them more stability going in. We used to have a very old steel trailer, a North American one, and had a mare that would jump over the ramp to get into the trailer because
oh dear,
she was pretty happy when we got this one.
Oh dear, hey, I got another ramp question for you, Martha.
Yeah, shoot.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been surfing around your website quite a bit, because mm-hmm. that yellow one that you have on your inventory, my chestnut quarter horse, would look so adorable on.
Oh, I love it.
But did I see one that the ramp can either be used as a ramp or as a door? You can convert it?
Yeah, they've had that design for many years and then took it off the market for a couple of years and redesigned it for 2011. And it is the slickest thing. So normally your ramp would, you know, be down, or and then you lift it up with there's hydraulic shocks that help lift the ramp, because otherwise it would be very heavy. So the hydraulics help lift it. You lock it into place with two big clamps left and right, and then to open it as a door on the passenger side, you would unhook the ramp clamp, and then there's a pin at the bottom. And you just pull the pin, and the door swings like a big barn door all the way around to the driver's side.
That is awesome!
Yeah, so you have a step-up or a ramp load in one trailer.
In the same trailer!
Wow, that's really cool.
Very slick. We demonstrated that quite a bit at the Royal Winter Fair in Toronto in November, and that was a pretty hot discussion topic around the fair.
Yeah.
Come on, try this. And it's so easy. That's what I love about it. You just pull the pin and up.
I can't tell you how many times we would have used that switched it around for different horses. I cannot tell you how many times.
And it's an option. Usually their standard is a ramp load, but, you know, we've had families where, you know, one person does Western riding and their horse has only ever done a step up, you know, and then somebody else who's doing English in the same family and their horses have only ever done ramps. Well, what trailer do you buy, you know? So now this gives people an option to have that option added, and, you know, you solve everything in one vehicle. It's very cool.
Sure. If you're like us and you also use your horse trailer to move furniture,
yes,
and it's nice to have the step up and not the ramp.
Yep, moving hay or shaving pallets too. If you have a little loader, you can just open the door and then just drive right up. You take out all the bars down and the stall divider out, and you're good to go. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing too is they really look like spaceships.
Yes, they do. They're very futuristic looking. That's partly the aerodynamic design. They have a very aerodynamic wedge and yet rounded front at the front of the roof. And then along the sides, there's indentations into the side of the roof, and then it flares out with a spoiler built into the back. And it's the spoiler built into the back that eliminates your vacuum. A lot of North American trailers are like transport truck trailers. They're like a big rectangle that pulls down the road. So they create a big vacuum in the back, and that vacuum, when the air bops around it, is what creates sway. So you'll hear of people, you know, I need to put sway bars on my bumper pole so it doesn't, you know, wag me as I go down the road. And these trailers won't do that. because of the lack of vacuum at the back and the way the tires are put on. They're put on like a car tire. So instead of being parallel, they're actually angled in and towed in a little bit at the front, so they'll always run in a straight line, and they grip the road then when you go on curves. So it's great for driving in crappy weather.
All right. Well, yeah, and that's definitely our trailer right now. We have a two-horse trailer that has that problem. We could really use some sway bars on it. So we just need to find a way to get one of yours and solve the problem. That's what we need to do.
Why not? Well, you know, just so you know, we have a dealer now that's opened up in Maryland. So we're starting to get some trailers coming into the U.S. too, which is great. And people come across the border and shop all the time. So it's nice about our two countries. We can do that a little more easily.
So now, where can people learn more about these trailers and your company?
Well, I would be happy to have them surf our website. It's maplelanetrailers.com. That's the easy way to do it. And you're more than welcome to surf and then give us a call. We'd be happy to answer any questions. For us, we're showing at shows up in Canada, but you're welcome to come across the border. We're happy to have cross-border shoppers.
All right. Well, thank you. You explained it very well, and these are really, really cool. It makes me want one. I want one now.
So, all right. Well,
on my Christmas list.
Exactly. Hopefully, Santa will be good to you as long as you've been good all year.
All right, Marcia. I'll be sending you my wish list. Okay.
Excellent.
You're closer to Santa where you live than me.
True.
So, yeah.
We might have an
thanks,
egg here.
Marcia.
All right. Have
bye.
A great day. Bye bye.
Now, why aren't we so behind in our technology for trailers here in the United States? That's my question.
I don't know. I mean, some of the stuff she was saying was pretty darn cool. So definitely something to look at. And you're right. They look like spaceships. I mean, these are like wicked-looking trailers. They're pewter, and I don't know what the material is, but it looks like titanium, yeah.
I know. It looks cool, doesn't it? You would be the cool kid pulling into the horse show.
Yeah, except for the fact that I just got one. Don't try to sell me another one. I'll get in trouble.
Well, and these are like
they're looking for dealerships in the U.S. So if you've always wanted to sell horse trailers or already do, give them a call.
Well, you know what? Pretty soon you're not going to be able to keep horses in your fields anyway because of the gophers. You could just have a trailer dealership back there.
Oh, jeez. I thought you were going to tell me just keep the horses in the trailer all the time.
Yeah. All right, let's do a break for our song. The song today is sponsored by Pocket Stable. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Pocket Stable is the best iPhone app ever. If you have horses and you don't have Pocket Stable in your app store, well, you should have it in your app store. Go look at it. It's pocketstable.com if you want to find it on your computer. You know, you have those tablet thingies or the, what are those little flat computers, the little iPads?
Yes.
I'm so into it. I have my iPhone is like 9 years old. Just like
I know,
the first
we need
one.
To get you a new iPhone.
I know, it's kind of embarrassing, but that's okay because I have Pocket Stable on it and I have Angry Birds, and those are my two favorite apps. Have you played Angry Birds, Glenn?
No, never have because I knew if I started I would be addicted and I should never do it.
Don't do it. Chad downloaded it, and between Pocket Stable and Angry Birds, all I do is stare at my phone. So what Pocket Stable is, back to them, is it is an iPhone app where you can keep track of all your horses' medications, vaccines, dewormings, farrier visits, all right there. And you set up your little horse stable, and each horse you can click on, you put in their information. So like my vet's coming this weekend to do our vaccines, and I had the farrier out this past week. Yeah, it's been an expensive week with the horses. So all that is in my iPhone, and so next time I go, how long has it been since the farrier? I don't have to dig through receipts or anything like that, pieces of paper, scratch sheets. It's all right there in my iPhone. Check it out, pocketstable.com or Pocket Stable in your app store.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Researchers have confirmed that as horses age, they naturally become less sensitive to insulin and more susceptible to health problems caused by too much sugar in the diet. One way to reduce the sugar content in a horse's diet is to replace sugar-laden grains with a high-fat supplement. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It is readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of sugary grains. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. Best of all, Equijoule allows owners to easily replace the calories previously supplied by sugary grains. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
Well, coming up next, we have Lynn is on the line with us. She is from L&D Trailers, and that is out in Portland, Oregon. And what we're going to talk to her about on the show here, we have been saying for 4 years, why don't they ever bring those really cool horse trailers and those really cool lorries that they have over in England that we always see the pictures of William Fox Pitt and Whitaker and all those guys driving around, and we all get jealous because they're so cool looking and they just don't bring them here to the United States. Well, I guess that's starting to happen now. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is the answer to that question? Why aren't these cool horse trailers? Why haven't they been over here? And the lorries especially, you know, you see these lorries over there and they're always so cool looking. It's like, why aren't they here?
Well, let me tell you, that is an exciting upcoming event for us next year. The Endeavor Classic is a three-horse trailer. It's all-in-one lorry with beautiful appointed living area, and we're hoping to bring those over on an Isuzu NQR cabin chassis that meets our emissions control for the United States, and that's probably a big reason why you haven't seen a lot of those large and small lorries is because of the engine requirements. So the Isuzu is already here in the United States, and Equitrek will be building that, like I said, the Endeavor Classic, the Endeavor Elite. And we're really excited because we got to see the full line at the Equitrek headquarters at their showroom. And the Isuzu is a wonderful lorry type all-in-one to drive. It's 26 feet long, and it can be as simple or as elaborately outfitted with slide outs for the living area and still give your horses the great Equitrek ride, and they'll be on a slant and their noses face backwards. So we have a lot of great information if people want to email us.
That's interesting, too, about the nose is facing backwards. That's very interesting. Now, one of the other things you see, too, and we'll get into a little bit about the differences, like with the Equitrek trailers and any of the traditional trailers that we'd see here in the United States. One of the things you see pictures of over, and we had this discussion the other day, over there you see SUVs hauling the trailers. One, the roads are narrower over there as a whole, and they're not doing as many highways or long distances as we are. So you'll see a lot of SUVs pulling trailers more than we see here. We always see the big trucks and all the different Fords and Chevys and Dodges pulling the trailers here. Is that because they're lighter? Are they lighter made? What are the differences?
Yes. Yes, the Equitrek trailer line is very well designed, and it's lightweight and convenient to tow with those larger SUVs like a Land Rover. You have to look at your specs, but most of the large SUVs with a V8 engine, and even smaller ones, because they do go all the way down to a small trail Trekka that we can import. And yes, they are they're manufactured between 6 feet and 7'9", so they really fit going down narrow roads, because they have a lot of those in England and in Europe, and they're also sold in Australia. So these trailers have been manufactured that way for almost 14 years, so they're very well thought out. They've been changed over the years to customer specs, but like I said, the lightweight, the lightest weight goes from like 1,900 pounds up to the Star Trekka with the living quarters that can also have a toilet and shower. Then that goes up to 4,200 pounds. So when you add your horses, you're usually under 8,000 pounds and a
That would fit any large SUV, goes up to 10,000 pounds.
Yes. Yeah, so
even my 6-cylinder truck. I mean, I can have a 7,500-pound weight on it. So that's just really doable.
Right, and it's a very balanced ride. The horses ride over the axles. There's a reduced tongue weight. The maximum tongue weight is like 330 pounds. So it's a very balanced ride. It's very maneuverable in parking lots and wherever else you need to go.
I was going to ask you about that because one of the things I saw with a lot of these trailers is that with our trailers, typically if you're going to have two sets of back wheels or two sets of wheels on the trailer, they're going to be really close together, right next to each other. With those trailers, they tend to be a couple of feet apart, which displaces a lot of the weight off of the tongue, right?
Right, right. And also, if you look at all the towable trailers, the axles also support the weight of the patented side-loading ramp. That one of the wonderful features of the Equitrek trailers from Trail Trekka, Space Trekka, Show Trekka, and Star Trekka is that the horses load into a very wide, open, light-colored space, and you bring them in quarter turn, and then when you hook them off, and then when you're ready to unload, you unhook them and just quarter turn their heads and just they follow you right down the ramp. So there's no backing up. There's no trying to turn around in a tight space. And so the horses really, they're very easy to load and very easy to unload. And it's because of that patented side ramp. So when you see a picture of it with the ramp down, just know that underneath there is that supporting axle. And yep. And then also that the horses ride backwards. That's another.
I was
going to
ask you about that next.
Yep.
So they ride facing backwards. That's going to bother a lot of people. Is it? I mean, explain that.
Well, let me tell you, it might bother people, but horses love it. If a lot of horses, and we've been to many shows over the past year from Sacramento to here in California and here in Albany, Oregon, a lot of the dressage shows, I've had people, Western people, hunter-jumper people, say they turn their horses loose in a trailer when they open up the door, the horse is facing backwards. Horses will naturally turn around and brake with their haunches. It's just easier for them. And it's something that we get told time and time and again, how horses will prefer to ride backwards. And actually have some studies on that from the University in California and the University in Scotland. So there is some scientific research to support what horses are doing.
You know, I used to haul horses I was based in Western Washington State when I was training and show horses, and you know, you'd haul through the mountains and then we'd haul down to, you know, Oklahoma City and you know, trailering is so stressful on the horses, and I just think it's awesome that somebody has finally, you know, figured out a way to work to the horse's strength like you have, you know, just follow what the horse does naturally and then, you know, make that a way to trailer the horse rather than some preconceived notion that they have to be facing forward like people do. I think that's great.
Right, exactly. You know, they're not looking out a windshield driving down the highway. They want to relax and be a little bit stress-free, and that's their position of comfort. So if you can do that for your horse, during the trailering process, however short or long distances you're going, you're going to end up with a horse who's a little bit less stressed, possibly, and perform better whatever type of discipline you're performing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just here looking at the pretty pictures on the website.
That's why we were so excited when we found Equitrek. We were very excited that there was that type of trailer being manufactured by a reputable company for all these years. This is nothing new. And there's many thousands of trailers being sold across Europe and now in Australia. And now we're here in the United States. So I really welcome everybody to look at our website.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at these pictures, and I like the side load aspect. And I know, Glenn, you were probably going to ask about that, but I'm so excited about it. I had a big horse trailer, a 9-horse trailer that I used to haul, and it had a side and a rear load, and I loved the side load.
Yes. But I also would like to say that on the larger rigs, like the Isuzu Endeavor, when we bring that over, it does not have the side load. But what it does have is that large ramp. And it's very well engineered, very well supported. So the horses will get that same benefit, and the horses and the lead person, you know, that gets the benefit of coming all the way up and then turning around and like a lot of the transports have the horses facing backwards at a slant. So they call it herringbone. So even though it is a slant trailer, the horse's nose face backwards.
Got it.
So I'm looking at the website here, and the trailers, the Star Trekka, the Show Trekka, and the Space Trekka, all are bumper pulls. Do they tend not to get into the fifth wheels, or?
Yes, the fifth wheel, they don't have pickup trucks. Most people don't have pickup trucks in England or Europe. They just have those large SUVs. And if you look at the website and look, there are some other photographs. On the Space Trekka, there's some even smaller SUVs, because the smallest Space Trekka M is only 2,400 pounds. So if you have a smaller horse or ponies, you can pull it. You know, you have to look at your tow package. But that's a lot of families that take their children out to shows over there in Europe and England. They just have one small family vehicle, and that's what they use to get around. That's what these were designed for, is to be pulled by the smaller. And the construction, all these trailers, these bumper pull trailers, it's a galvanized steel chassis with surge brakes. And it also has independent suspension on all wheels, so it's a very comfortable ride. And then,
well, wait a minute. Before you go on, you just said surge brakes. That's something that I bet you some people don't even know what they are here anymore.
Okay.
Because we used to have a trailer with surge brakes, but that was, 30 years ago. It's not real common anymore.
Well, there are some people who have other European trailers, such as, and I'll let you know, Brandurup. It's very similar to that. So those are surge brakes. They're used a lot in Europe. You don't, when you apply the brakes, it's a mechanical braking system, and it's on all wheels, so it's a very gentle ride and braking system. So you don't have to have that extra electric wiring. And
you don't have to worry about the squirrels eating the wiring harness on the back of the truck.
There you go. You don't have to worry about that. So again, that galvanized steel frame, nothing to rust or rot. It has a special electrolysis way that they put on the aluminum floorboards, tongue and groove floorboards, and then the construction is a glass reinforced panel and a fiberglass cowling, similar to a lot of motorhomes that we have here in the United States. It's that type of lightweight construction. Has a very well-designed bulkhead that supports the whole trailer. And in fact, Equitrek has won a lot of awards recently in England and Europe for the engineering of this. That when we visited the showroom and the office, they were very happy to show us all these awards that they won last year for their engineering. So there's been a lot of thought put into this and fine tuning. And also it's been designed by, horse lovers and horse enthusiasts, so that they really have the horse in mind. It's not designed by people for people and throw a horse in there. So it's really well thought out and well designed.
Now, everybody's wondering, well, that means it has to cost $5,000, $10,000 more than the ones that are over here. So, can you address the cost issue?
Yes, the cost of the basic Space Trekka M in 2014 was $15,000, and it goes up from there, which is pretty comparable to other two-horse trailers. I mean, that are well designed and easy. I want to say easier to tow, but the Space Trekka L is a bit more. And those are West Coast prices. The other thing I'd like to let you and everyone know is that we do ship to the East Coast.
I was going to my next question, because we're in Ocala, so
So we would ship down probably into Carolinas. We've had a lot of inquiries down that way. Everything from the regular Space Trekka is up through the carriage Trekka, because I understand there is a lot of driving community down that way. And so we can ship to the East Coast. And as far as warranty servicing, we would set that up for you in your area. So that's not really an issue. Again, those prices that I quoted come over here to the West Coast. And it takes a little bit longer if you custom order your factory-built trailer and have it shipped to the East Coast probably can have it anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, depending on their production schedule. And there are a lot of options that you can add to the base model. Again, Equitrek has been in business for 14 years, and they've shipped everywhere from Finland and Norway all the way down to when we were visiting. They had beautiful transports and trailers they were shipping to Dubai and to Saudi Arabia. So they deal with all kinds of heat and cold climates for animals. So there's in that option grid, there's a lot of choices of how to customize the trailer for your horses in your area.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I know this 8-week period is not very long at all, because I've ordered trailers and waited months and months and months. So that's really nice.
Yeah. So and we do check with them when we have a very interested client. We can check on production schedule and pretty much fine tune and let you know what that's going on. That's all well supported by the company on their website. And so again, I would encourage people, if they're interested, to look on the website, email me, and I will be glad to send out the PDF form of the trailer brochure, which answers a lot of questions and may give you more questions to ask. But again, the pricing, back to the pricing, that Space Trek M is a base model price. There's a Trail Trekker, which is a little bit lighter, a little bit less. The horses do not ride backwards, but again, it's geared for the families or anyone who has a lightweight vehicle. The Janians told us, they really designed that in England there for families to go out with their ponies to little weekend horse shows. So it is lighter weight, and the horses ride forward, but it can be pulled by a small car, all the way up to the Star Trekker, which is fully outfitted and will be about probably around a little bit under $30,000 for a complete bumper pull living quarters trailer, which would have the hot water, shower, toilet. It has two bunk beds that fold into a sofa. So it's a really well-designed small space, but gets you out there with your horses, either on a leisure battery in the field, or it will also have the plug-in for American trailers, like we like to plug in and have water connection and all that. So if you can go the full gamut with these bumper pull trailers.
Very cool. And I noticed, we're running out of time here, so I have to wrap up, but I did notice the carriage ones too, because I'm a driver. So, we always have that issue of having to take two vehicles and two trailers, one for the carriage and one for the horses. And they seem to have solved that with that. And maybe we'll get into that another time. It is equa-trek-portland.com. And we'll also post that on our Facebook page and in our show notes as well. So if anybody wants to see that, they can stop over to horsesinthemorning.com and see it in our show notes. Thank you so much, Lynn, for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's Lynn from L&D Trailers in Portland, Oregon. And congratulations on taking the step and bringing some of these really cool space-age trailers from England over.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you so much.
And you know what? I say space age. One of them's named Star Trekker. So, they are kind of space age, right?
They are kind of space age. Star Trekker. Yes.
That's right.
And if anyone would like to know more, please email me. There is more information with the carriage Trekker also in my brochure. So I'll be sure to send you and the people there one of these catalogs so you can look it over.
And you know what? If you want to spend $60,000, Leonard Nimoy comes with it.
A little
extra there for you. That's on the extras list. I saw it on your website. Leonard Nimoy.
That's right, my extras.
$30,000. Yeah. We'll see you, Lynn.
Only. Thank you, Glenn. Bye-bye.
Beam me up, Scotty.
We'll be long and prosper.
Don't get me wrong, I like a good time just as much as the next guy, but I don't need artificial thrills. Let me tell you how I got this black eye. The other day I got bucked off, I got hung up and drug around a little. Ibuprofen turned my frown upside down. I'm talking ibuprofen will get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your age. So here's to knowing you can feel less broken with just a little ibuprofen. Those Olympians win gold medals, 'cause they eat fortified cereal. But the breakfast of rodeo champions is 4 to 5 Advil. And you can tell if they're really wise, 'cause they'll grab a bag of ice before they ride and spread it out and put it on from head to toe. It makes you ready to go and take some ibuprofen to get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your age. So here's to knowing you can feel less broken with just a little ibuprofen. Guaranteed to not cause addiction, and you won't even need a prescription. No, you won't. Ibuprofen will get you through those days. Ibuprofen will help you feel your age. So here's to knowing you can feel less broken with just a little ibuprofen. Yeah, I'm preaching about something I know, and this is my ode to ibuprofen.
Well, I know that you showed a lot, but I know you're back in action because you did 100 pace not too long, and you have a list because you're, you know, related to Glenn now. So you have, of course, had to come up with a list. And this is the list of Jen's top 5 favorite leaving the showgrounds at the end of a long day faux pas.
Yes. Explain. And I have committed all of these sins and the majority of them on more than one occasion, because for many, many years, I was usually the first one there in the morning to get to the horse show and the last one to leave for whatever reason. Sometimes because I had a zillion and one students, and sometimes because I had to get there 3 hours early in case I got lost on the way. So I have done all these things at the end of the day. When you pull out of the showgrounds, you have left the very last cold beverage in your possession on top of the truck or on the horse trailer fender. And as you pull out of the hay field onto the road, there it goes, onto the macadam, and you have nothing to drink for the next 45 minutes, because that's how long it takes to get to the nearest gas station. Have you done that one?
I was thinking that I've done this, and it was with my cell phone. So I put the cell phone on top of the truck or on the trailer fender or your sandwich or whatever. It could be anything that you would leave on your truck. And you know what's really bad is that this is really bad with the baby. Not that I leave the baby on top of the car.
Ah, don't even
but
say that.
You have the baby and the car seat in one hand, and then you have whatever you have in your left in your other hand, and that could be a cell phone or a sandwich or whatever, and you set that on top of the car. You get the baby all adjusted in the car, you close the door and get in and drive off. I've done that more times than I care to say right now.
And there went your there went your peanut butter and jelly.
Exactly. There goes whatever you had. So what else have you done?
Well, this one I have done, I'm pretty sure only on one occasion, but I cannot tell you how many times I have seen other people do it. They pull out and they forgot to put the ramp up on the horse trailer.
Oh my gosh. That's really stupid. Did you say you've done that?
I did that once, yes.
No.
I only got about 3 feet, thank you very much. But
that's bad. That's not the smartest thing. I'm not a ramp person, so I can't say I've ever done that.
Yeah. Now, when you go to a horse show, you are out in the desert Midwest, where an 8-hour trip to a horse show is nothing. Is it the they majority step up slant loads nowadays, or do you still see a lot of ramps?
You see about, it's 50-50, I guess, but I just prefer the step ups.
Yeah. We always
The ramp is one more thing to break.
Now, here's a good one, because I have had many, many horse trailer adventures in my day. Got to a horse show one time, and of course I was the second person there because we had to leave early in case I got lost. By the time we got there, the horse I had kicked so much, he actually broke the hinges on the bottom of the ramp. So the only thing holding the ramp on the trailer were the two latches at the top.
See, one more thing to break. No, that's awful.
I don't remember how we got it fixed to go home, but we did something to it. Luckily, my dad was along with that one. I think it might have involved duct tape. So my next one is, this is something I have done recently because Beaker is the first horse I've ever owned that self-loads. You put the lead rope over his neck and he goes on. And I forget to tie him up sometimes. Like, oops.
It depends on the trailer, but I can't say that I tie up many horses in the trailer. The horses that I worry about getting their head down or caught or something, obviously I tie them up. But, like Jet, when we're on these big 6-7 hour rides to Galway or whatever, I've got a big muck tub with water in it. I've got hay, you know, and I kind of let him loose in there and he stands better. The thing that I have, my worst nightmare, and this is the thing that I worry about so much, is that, you know, he doesn't tie very well. He'll tie in the trailer, obviously, if he's in the little slant. But my worst nightmare is that they're tied up as you open the back door and cluck to back them out and they're tied up. Because that is the rest of, I have like vision nightmares about that, because then they start pulling back and then they panic and they pull back and then they fling themselves out of the back of the trailer or hit their head on the roof or something like that. Have you had that happen?
More times than I care to recall. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of anal about untying them first, you know, and Chad has gone to open. I'm like, don't let it hurt! I'm not untied yet. He's like, it's fine. I'm like, don't open the door. It's just, I won't open the door until they're untied.
Yeah. And that's always fun, because I, for many years, I was always dragging young students along to horse shows. And we had one of those old fashioned trailers. It was a 4-horse. But it was a nose to tail. So the first two horses walked in, and you closed their butt bars, and the next two horses walked in right behind them, which is a little dicey.
Gosh.
That's not, for any horse that hauls or lows badly, that's not the configuration you want, just an FYI. But that's what we had, and that's what we used, and the horses got over it. But you'd open the tailgate, and it was always this screaming match back and forth, because somebody would have to hold the horse's head, and it was usually some freaked out 13-year-old. Do you have the horse on top? Oh, my God, he's moving his head. I can't. Do you have the chest bar down? And it was just a comedy of errors. It was horrible. I don't miss it. Thank you.
Sell that on Craigslist. Sell that trailer.
Yeah.
Now, what was your next one? With two left.
My next one. You pull away, and you get around the corner. You head down the dirt road, sucking up dust, and you look behind you, and in the rearview mirror, 300 yards behind are a stack of water buckets and or your mounting block that you left behind. Yeah.
Done that a couple of times. I've left the water buckets in the stalls more times than I care to say. However, with the mounting block, I actually, you know, you leave the mounting block out and then you go to back out and you hit it. So I've run over several mounting blocks.
Yeah, you went to the same school of backing up as Glenn.
Yeah.
Just
hit it.
Wow.
Just run over it. Well, you can't see them because they're so small. I hit it with my gator the other day. Just backed up. That's why you get those really hardcore plastic ones.
Yeah, you have to get the Burlingham Sports Super Duty. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a subset of this one is leaving and then looking in the rearview mirror down the dusty road, and you see some tiny person way off in the distance running and screaming and waving their third place ribbon at you because you left someone behind.
Aww. You leave a child behind, Jennifer, and these people trusted you with their children.
Well, it was a caveat. There were two different vehicles with humans in them. And vehicle A thought vehicle B had that human. and Bugle B thought Bugle A had that human being, and both were wrong.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah, we had to get that person ice cream on the way out.
No kidding.
And my favorite. Yeah, no kidding. And you know something? If you have a student who is not carrying their own weight, or, you know, just not staying with the program, being obnoxious, crying because they didn't get first place, this is something you can use. I mean, I'm sorry it was an accident, but it will humble them if you leave them behind. It really straightens out attitudes.
I would imagine. And the final one before we get to the song?
The final one before we get to the song, and I still do this one at least one out of three times that I go somewhere, I leave the freaking people door hanging open.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And then if you drive too far and it's bumpy, then things start to fly out of the door. So don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. I've lost
how
a lot of hay that way.
You've lost hay. How far? What is your longest distance traveled with the people door open?
You know, I don't know, because I've been driving since I was 16 is when my parents were like, here, take the truck and trailer yourself. I'm tired of going to horse shows. So I can't figure out a way now, but I've developed hopefully some good habits now where I walk up to every door and I pull on them before I leave. Just every single one I walk around the truck and trailer. And then of course it ends with me making sure that the ball is actually inside the horse trailer and it's closed. So I have like these little good habits that I've developed because I'm so anal about taking horses places. So fortunately not, but obviously you've driven pretty far.
I know for a fact that my maximum is 2.1 miles because that's how long that the private road was that I got to the end of, and the horse trailer behind me pulled up and started honking their horn very energetically to let me know that for that entire 2.1 miles, my people door was flapping back and forth. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, that about wraps it up, everybody. Don't forget to tune in live on Monday, November 27th. That's Cyber Monday. We will have our third annual 12-hour radiothon with tons of really fascinating guests talking about holiday-themed topics, gobs and gobs of prizes, and 1,000,001 listener-submitted holiday greetings, songs, and poems. If you want to enter to win some of the millions of dollars, no, just kidding, thousands of dollars worth of prizes, go to holidayradiothon.com, and right there at the top it says enter to win. It's easy to do. You can do it beforehand, or you can enter to win the day of by calling in and giving us your holiday greetings. See you next time.